here's a story from The World.
For many years, Sudan in East Africa was singled out for religious intolerance. Critics came after the regime of Omar al-Bashir for imposing strict Islamist rule and allowing the persecution of religious minorities. But after the 2019 uprising that ousted Bashir from power, the new transitional government in Sudan has been taking a different approach, working to improve its international image when it comes to religious freedom. The World's Halima Gikandi reports from Khartoum.
Sunday morning mass is about to begin at St. Matthew's Catholic Cathedral in Khartoum. The towering stone church was built more than 100 years ago. The Arabic religious service is over. Now, people have come to pray in English. As they enter the main building of the cathedral, they kneel and cross themselves in front of the altar. The youth choir begins to sing, and everybody stands as the service gets started. Elizabeth Achu, a 31-year-old economist, grew up going to church here. Today, she's wearing a long, modest pink dress with a matching scarf around her neck. For Achu, St. Matthew's feels like a place of refuge.
And by saying refuge, I don't only mean the refuge that is written in the Bible and how it's been explained, but I literally mean refuge, like as in the dictionary, because of the so many things that I experienced growing up in Sudan as a black woman and as a Christian young woman in Sudan by then, during the Bashir regime.
Achu grew up here in Khartoum, but her family comes from the predominantly Christian South. In 2010, people there declared independence, and South Sudan became its own country. And that's in part because of the persecution that Christians and other non-Muslims faced during the rule of Omar al-Bashir.
I can just remember some kind of things that are being said while you're in public transport, people looking at you and telling you, oh, you're kafir, you know, like you're someone who's going to hell because you're not Muslim, you're not covering up your hair.
Achu says she's forgiven those who discriminated against her. She'd rather think about the positive changes that have come since Bashir was ousted in 2019. Christians are more acknowledged and respected nowadays, she says.
We have like neighbors who walk in and say, oh, happy Christmas or happy Easter. Before they used to think this is haram, you know. So there is some change.
Some of those changes have come from the top. Christmas is now a national holiday in Sudan. Non-Muslims are allowed to drink alcohol. And an old apostasy law was repealed. Now it's illegal in Sudan to even accuse someone of being an infidel or non-believer. Here's Minister of Religion Nasser Eddine Mofara speaking during a television interview last year. Sudan is a multi-religious country, the minister said. There's Islam, Christianity, and even the Jewish faith. He called on religious minorities who left Sudan under the previous regime to return. But for Elizabeth Achu, that invitation comes a little too late for many of Sudan's Christians.
You can see the church is not really full, like not even half full. So a lot of Christians are not here anymore because most of them are South Sudanese and they're not in Sudan anymore. The number has decreased a lot. And with that, of course, the effect of Christianity also diminishes.
There are still Christians across the country, Coptics in Khartoum, and Christians of different denominations in the Nuba Mountains and the Blue Nile. But most estimate that some 90% of Sudan is Sunni Muslim. That means non-Muslims have less political power, says Simon Suleiman. He's a Christian lawyer with the Sudan Council of Churches. Suleiman says that public festivities and celebrations are not enough. The new government needs to address tangible issues in order for Christians to feel included in society. The revolution has brought an atmosphere of freedom, he says, but change on the ground has been slow. For example, Suleiman says he wants to see more Christian television and radio stations, more Christians appointed to positions of leadership in the government, and for Christian teachers to be allowed to teach classes about their religion in public schools. Another sensitive issue, he says, are church properties that were seized under the Bashir regime. Those need to be returned. In the Umdurman suburb of Khartoum, children play and laugh outside a gated home. Inside the modest compound is a dusty courtyard surrounded by benches and a small cluttered office. Merry Christmas is written in large letters on a wall. Reverend Mata Budraskomi is a pastor here.
In this area, which we are sitting in, it is a church, but we are renting a house. This is a house of a believer. We are renting. That means we have monthly to pay for that in order to worship in this area.
They've been renting this house since 1997. It's small compared to the prominent mosque down the street. But Reverend Komi explains they haven't gotten permission to build a church here yet, despite multiple efforts. He says the former regime rarely gave permission to build new churches, even though most neighborhoods in Sudan have their own mosques. Informal churches that were built without permission were often destroyed.
Especially the Lutheran Church of Sudan, we have three churches destroyed and burned. One of them is in Saura, in Buluk 29, in Saura, in Omdurman.
Christian leaders like Komi want the government to issue building permits for new churches so that everyone has a place to worship. That, they say, would signal a commitment to religious freedom in Sudan. Back at the St. Matthew's Cathedral, worshippers drink tea and chat after Mass. As the night approaches, Elizabeth Achu, the economist, gets ready to go home. She wraps her pink scarf around her head, like a hijab, so she can blend in, she tells me.
I encounter a lot of men, Sudanese men, old men, who still hold these kind of perceptions of women covering up themselves and looking at South Sudanese who are residing here as foreigners. Why are you here? So it makes me more comfortable covering up.
But Achu says she feels positive about the changing attitudes in Sudan. The younger generation, she says, accepts people as they are. For The World, I'm Halima Gikandi, Khartoum, Sudan.
Tomorrow we'll hear more about the experience of women in Sudan. These stories are part of our ongoing series, Sacred Nation, reporting on religion and nationalism around the globe, funded by the Henry Luce Foundation. Check out more at theworld.org/sacrednation.